हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः भद्रं कन्नेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरंगैः स्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ प्रज्ञानां सुप्रतानैः स्थिरचरनिकर व्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् प्रज्ञानां सुप्रतानैः स्थिरचरनिकर व्यापिभिर्व्याप्य लोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः मायया भोजयन्नः मायासङ्ख्यातुरीयम् सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् स्वमति विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् சர்வானேதான் புனரபிஷனை ஸ்வாத்மனி ஸ்தாபயித்வா ஹித்வா சர்வான் விசேஷான் விகத குணகண பாத்வசௌ நஸ்துரியஹ விகத குணகணஹ அஸௌ துரியஹ நஹ பாது. காரிகா நம்பர் 37. வில் ஜஸ்ட் இட் ஒன்ஸ், வில் கோ ஹெட் நெக்ஸ்ட். சர்வாபிலாப விகதஹ சர்வசிந்தா சமுத்திதஹ சுப்ரசாந்தஸ்ஸக்ருஜ்யோதிஹ சமாதிரச்சலோபயஹ. In this karika, we have seen the meaning of the word சர்வ அபிலாப விகதஹ. Every word here reveals the nature of the Atma, thereby the nature of the mind with the knowledge. Being Atma is of the same nature. Isn't it? You have seen the words now. சர்வ அபிலாப விகதஹ. We have seen Bhagavad Pada's commentary on that word. Sarva chinta samuthitaha. We have seen the meaning of that word also. Two words. Suprashantaha. We have to see that now. Okay? We have to see that next word. We go to the last one. Yasmat. Page number 448. We understood this abstract, formless, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is of the nature of consciousness, pure consciousness, existence, Satchit Atma, is free from, devoid of all external organs such as organ of speech, etc. Therefore, it is free from words. Sarva chinta samuthitaha. It is devoid of any internal organ such as intellect, etc. Intellect, we can say, okay, all internal organs also. Therefore, it is free from any functions. Functions can be associated with the Atma only if it has organs. This abstract, formless, all-pervasive consciousness has no organs, internal or external. They are free from the functions, activities, transactions happening through those organs also. Sarva chinta samuthitaha. Now we have to see in page number 448, I'm going to last paragraph. Suprashantaha. He says, Yasmat sarva vishaya varjitaha. Ataha suprashantaha. Very beautiful. You know, suprashantaha means this Atma is ever absolutely peaceful. exquisitely serene, absolutely peaceful. Being peaceful is the very nature of the Atma. See, mind you know, attains peace. How does mind attain peace? Mind as though attains peace when it resolves itself in it, when the mind it, when this knowledge of mind being non-separate from Atma, when the mind being Atma is understood, then mind also has what now? Absolute mind is of the sort of absolute peace. This is consciousness, the truth of the Atma mind is ever of the sort of absolute peace. Therefore, Suprashant, why it is absolutely peaceful? He says, Sarva Vishaya Varjitaha. Shankaracharya says, Sarva Vishaya Varjitaha. See, once Atma is free from all organs, what does it mean? Atma is free from all functions and actions. Naturally, Atma is free from what? Free from all objects also. What about sound, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandhaha? The entirety of the objective universe can be reduced to only fivefold objects. There's no sixth object, isn't it? Fivefold objects. Any object in the world must be what? Must be within the realm of this fivefold only. So sixth object is not there. The entity of the world obtains in the form of fivefold objects, perceptible, known through fivefold sense organs. So, Atma is free from organs, free from transactions, functions and actions. Atma is free from objects also. See how he beautifully develops it. Atma is not the knower, experiencer. Atma is not the instruments of knowledge. Atma is not instruments of actions. If Atma is not objects of actions or objects of knowledge also. Atma is free from all objects. Because being free means what? Being free means there's no division. Being free means there's no division. See, what is seen is non-separate from Atma. What is heard is non-separate from Atma. What is smelt is non-separate from Atma. What is tasted is non-separate from Atma. What is touched is non-separate from Atma. All objects are Atma. So there's no possessor-possessed connection. Adhara-adheya-sambandha is not there between Atma and objects. We say, no, when you say, I have, means what? Then you have a possessor-person connection comes. They do not belong to the Atma, they are Atma. They're not separate from Atma. Therefore, Atma is free from all objects. Atma does not have objects. Therefore, all objects are Atma. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandaha, all the Atma, they're all manifestations of the Atma. They're not separate from Atma, they're all Atma. Therefore, Atma does not have objects. The word said, Sarva Vishaya Varjitaha. Therefore, objects being not there, thoughts cannot, the knowledge cannot entertain thoughts pertaining to objects. If it is not there, how can you think of it? Isn't it? You cannot think of something which doesn't exist. As something, isn't it? So, there's no object for Atma. From the standpoint of consciousness, there is no subject, there is no instrument of knowledge or action, there is no object of knowledge and action also. From the standpoint of consciousness. Therefore, it's not possible to think of anything. That's why sarva, sarva, the thoughts being not, nothing to be think, thought of. Therefore, there's only peace. What is being absolutely peaceful, isn't it? Only if the identity is there, ignorance is there, thoughts are entertained, thoughts are pointed to the object, then if you have the sense of belonging to them, the person-person connection becomes, then there is restlessness, agitation, disturbance. It's all for the mind. If the mind functions as mind, there is ashantihi. The mind is Brahma. There is no object, subject. Therefore what? Shantihi. Shantihi, ashantihi. Isn't it? Depend of where the mind is associated with. Therefore, here Atma Swarupam itself is what? Peace is Atma Swarupam. The mind which is now made a non-mind, being the Atma, also absolutely peaceful. Prashantaha. Then Sakrajyotihi. I told you yesterday itself, Sakrajyotihi. And also, Sakrat Prabhatam means the same. Jyotihi means light. Here light is what? Not any light. Light of consciousness. So ever effulgent light of consciousness is Atma. Because being conscious is not an action. Knowing not an action is very swarupam. Just as Agni Ushnavat, we understood many times. Just as being hot is the very nature of the fire. Knowing is the nature of the reality here. This abstract formula is reality. That's where reality is implied by the term very word consciousness, pure knowledge, because of its nature. Then why does it know? That's very swarupam. Sakrajyotihi. When is Atma consciousness? When is fire hot? Always. Sakrajyoti means Atma is ever of the nature of light of consciousness. Sada eva jyotihi. I'm not saying. Shankaracharya says, Sada eva jyotihi. Always effulgent, always effulgent, always shining, always. Why? Atma Chaitanya Swarupena. This mind with the knowledge also, as consciousness. So the self here, the self as consciousness, as the self. Having taken ownership of consciousness as the self, it is ever effulgent. Because Atma is ever effulgent. Atma is ever of such a self-effulgence. Therefore, Sada eva jyotihi Atma Chaitanya Swarupena. How always effulgent? How always light? Because of the nature of consciousness. Atma Swarupena. Chaitanya Swarupena. We say Atma is ever effulgent, ever resplendent because of its nature of consciousness. Atma Chaitanya Swarupena. Okay, that word is over. Next word, Samadhihi. So Shankara Bhagavatpada gives two meanings for this word Samadhihi. Okay, one meaning is focused attention. Chitta Samadhanam, focused attention, deepest concentration is Samadhanam. Samadhihi. Chitta Samadhanam Samadhihi, we say. Samadhihi. But here, why Atma itself is meant by the word Samadhihi? The abstract formless reality implied by the term Atma, the mind with the knowledge which is now Atma, what is that Atma? Samadhihi. Why it is called Samadhihi? Because the consciousness, the reality, is attainable, not physically, experientially, but cognitively. Is it? The reality can be that which can be arrived at through knowledge, which is attainable through focused attention, deepest concentration. If concentration is, see, if the focus is on 100%, now still a little bit distraction is there. Little distracted. Will not be available. Those aspirant for jnanam must be people of focused attention. Any subject matter for that matter. The more focused you are, the more you grasp. It can be mathematics class or physics class. So also in Vedanta class also, if Shravanam is possible, Mananam is possible, Nidhyasam is possible, only if the focus is always on one Swarupam. Only object matter of the Shastra. This goes means it's not possible. That is why Atma itself is said to be Samadhi, because this all-pervasive, abstract, formless conscious reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, can be arrived at in terms of knowledge through focused attention is also meant by the word Samadhi. So that which is not attainable without concentration, that which can be attained through knowledge, through this deepest concentration, most focused attention. That's what's called Samadhi. So he says, Samadhi Nimitta Prajna Avagamyatvat. Kimartam Atma Samadhi Iti Uchyate. He says, Samadhi Nimitta Prajna Avagamyatvat. These are, I'm not saying, Shankaracharya's own words. See, Prajna. Prajna avagamyam. Prajna avagamyam is what Atma. Prajna avagamyaha Atma. Atma has the status of being attainable through knowledge. How are you going to attain jnanam? Atma. Atma is you, yourself. You can never attain yourself. Isn't it? How can you attain yourself? You can attain anything else other than you. Anything other than you can be attained. And anything other than you is there only from the standpoint of body, mind, sense complex. The standpoint of consciousness, nothing other than you. Everything is you. But from the standpoint of consciousness, which is your own self, you can never attain. Consciousness, the reality being yourself, there's no question of attaining anything. Therefore, only knowing. Therefore, avagamyaha means attainable. This all-pervasive reality consciousness is attainable. How? Prajnaya, through knowledge. Prajnaya avagamyaha. But how is prajna avagamyaha? But how is knowledge attainable? Atma is attainable through knowledge. How is knowledge attainable? Knowledge attained. Knowledge can be attained only through focused attention. What is nimittam for what? For moksha, you need atma jnanam. Sorry, atma. Okay? Atma has to be attained. Atma has to be attained only through knowledge. Knowledge has to be attained through focused mind, attention. Therefore, atma is said to be samadhi. So he says, samadhi nimitta prajna. Prajna is attainable. Atma is attainable through prajna. Prajna is, for attaining prajna, samadhi is the nimittam. Samadhi is the nimittam. Therefore, the reality which has to be, which is attainable through knowledge, which is accomplishable through focused attention, is said to be samadhi. One meaning. Samadhi nimitta prajna avagamyatvat samadhi. What is second meaning now? Samadhiyate asmin iti va samadhi. You got that answer from the samadhi nimitta prajna avagamyaha. സമാധി നിമിത്ത പ്രജ്ഞാ അവഗമ്യ ആത്മാ. Therefore, Atma is known by the term Samadhi. Meaning first term, first meaning. Second meaning is what? Samadhiyate asmin iti Samadhi. The definition. Samadhiyate asmin iti Samadhi. The second meaning is Samadhi means Samadhiyate asmin. That in which everything enjoys existence. That in which in everything is resolvable. That in which everything can be resolved. That which in which everything resolves. That in which everything exists. That which is there as the substratum of everything lending existence by its mere presence, mere existence. See, light lends existence not by doing something, dancing, singing, no action, not by moving. By its mere presence, it lends existence to, by its very nature lends existence to all the opaque things. Then it becomes the substratum, adhishtanam for everything. Opaque things. In the same way, this all pervasive pure consciousness by its mere existence, by its very nature of consciousness, all pervasive reality, by its very nature of knowing, it lends existence to all the entire world of inert material things. Isn't it? Therefore, it is the adhishtanam for everything. So, the reality which is the substratum, the adhishtanam for everything, lending existence to everything but its mere presence is samadhi. So, that in which everything resolves. Samadhiyate asmin iti samadhi. One minute. See, the whole world can be reduced to what? Aham. Aham can be reduced to what? Consciousness. Therefore, that in which the mind which is focused on, samadhi. This is the second meaning. Okay. Then, one more word. Achalaha. See, achalaha na chalati iti achalaha. We always understand achalaha implies what? Unmoving sthanuhu achalaha. We use come together. Unmoving. Conscious reality, consciousness cannot move from place to place because there's no place where it is not. Because of all pervasive is unmoving, immovable also, it cannot be moved. Isn't it? So moving, movement, either by itself or by something else is possible. Only if it can be, it is subject to change. Therefore, Shankaracharya gives a different meaning here. Achalaha means avikriyaha. See, being, nature being unmoving, being immobile, okay, immovable. Why Atma is immobile, immovable? Because it is changeless. Avikriyaha. He gives a different meaning here, Shankaracharya. Avikriya he gives. Ataha eva abhayaha. That is the reason, because of its nature of changelessness only, we have to understand this Atma is ever of the nature of fearlessness. When you understand the nature of the Atma, you're also understanding the nature of the mind with the knowledge which is no more mind, which is Atma. Understand now? Fearlessness. Why? Ataha eva abhayaha vikriya abhavat. Due to the absence of change, vikriya abhavat, because of the absence of change on the part of the Atma, changelessness being the very nature of the Atma, Atma is ever of the nature of fearlessness. What does it mean? Changelessness implies endlessness, deathlessness. That implies, okay, death is the cause of fear, source of fear. You know that. Change means death must be there. What is death? End. Isn't it? Coming into existence is birth. Ending is what? Death. So here, changelessness implies beginninglessness, endlessness. Beginninglessness, endlessness implies deathlessness. Deathlessness implies what? Immortality. Being immortal is what? Being fearless. Being immortal is being fearless. Being fearless is what? Being secure. Therefore, Atma is ever of the nature of immortality. Okay? Fearlessness. And the only source of absolute security. All this implied by this term. Vikriya abhavate. Vikriya abhavate. Abhayaha Atma. Fearless. So Atma is fearless. Mind with the knowledge is Atma. Mind with knowledge also is fearless. Okay, with this 37th karika is over. 38th karika will move on to now. Yasmad brahmaiva samadhihi achalaha abhayaha ityuktaha. Now he says, as here this absolute reality, abstract, I had repeated sentence again and again. I give Brahma, Brahma means it's something word for you. Abstract, formless, absolute reality is ever of the nature of limitlessness, consciousness, implied by the term Brahma. That reality is what now? Samadhi. Samadhi is very substratum, adhishtanam, in which everything exists. Isn't it? Which means, everything exists means what? The seeming forms, names and functions are there. Therefore, there's nothing which other than Atma. Samadhi implies there's nothing other than Atma. Then achalaha, the word what? Being all pervasive, being changeless, it's also changeless. Abhayaha, it is fearless. All these have been mentioned before in the previous verse as nature of the Atma. Therefore what? I have to remember everything. Atma has no organs. See, first of all, Atma has no mind. Therefore, Atma is not the knower, thinker, doer. Therefore, Atma has no mind. The mind is Atma. Atma has no mind because mind is Atma. Mind is Atma means Atma has no internal external organs. Therefore, no functions, no activities, no transactions. Atma has no objects. Therefore, what? Then Atma is fearless. Atma is changeless, which means Atma is absolutely free from all sorts of transactions. Vyavaharaha. Isn't it? Vyavaharaha means transaction. Now, in 7th verse, you came across that, sorry, not Karika, mantra itself, you came across the word avyavaharyam. Avyavaharyam. So, the Atma is ever of the nature of transactionlessness, free from all transactions. That meaning, that word from mantra alone is elaborately explained again in this Karikas. Now he is going to say the same thing. So Atma is free from all transactions. That is explained here. See, to say Atma is from all transactions, you have to make it very clear. Atma is changeless. Atma is all-pervasive. Atma is, also immortal, fearless. Atma is free from all organs. Everything has to be explained to come to this point. See, Atma is free from all transactions. So here in Shastram, all transactions, all possible transactions are divided into two factors. They say upadanam and hanam. Upadadati is a verb. Jahati is a two verbs are there. Upadadati, jahati. Upadadati means what? Takes, picks up, holds. This is upadanam. Upadanam means accepting, receiving, taking, picking up. Is upadanam. Upadadati. Taking. Then jahati rejects. Hanam. Hanam means rejection, giving up. Taking, giving up. Accepting, rejecting. Apada. Okay. So he says, apadanam, not upadanam. Okay. Yeah. Upadadati. Upadadati upadanam. Not apadanam. Okay. Upadanam. Upadanam is material cause also, remember? Upadana karanam. But here, not in that sense. Upadanam also means taking up something is upadanam. Rejecting something, giving up something is what? Hanam. These two words, okay, upadanam, hanam. So all transactions are divided into these two as upadanam and hanam. Okay, it not only physical activities, even emotional, mental activity functions also. So, I do this means upadanam. I don't this means, that is hanam. Is giving up. Doing something is upadanam. Giving up, not doing is hanam, giving up. The same way, desiring is upadanam. Not desiring is hanam. Getting angry is upadanam. Opposite of being angry is what? Not getting angry is, remaining calm is hanam. Hating is what? Apadanam. Sorry, upadanam. Okay? Not hating is what? Hanam. This is how all transactions, physical, emotional, all transactions are classified into two groups as apadanam, upadanam and hanam. But here, Gaudapada Acharya used two different words. What the words we'll see here? Utsargaha and hanam. We'll see that. No, let's see the word first. Grahaha and utsargaha. The words used by Acharya, Gaudapada Acharya are these. Grahaha, utsargaha. Grahaha means upadanam. Utsargaha means hanam. Grahaha is equal to upadanam. Taking up upadana. Then utsargaha hanam. Two words. Okay. Let us read the verse now. Grahona tatra no sarga chinta yatra na vidyate. Grahona tatra no sarga chinta yatra na vidyate. Grahona tatra. Grahona tatra not sarga chinta, not sarga chinta yatrana vidyate, yatrana vidyate atma samstham tata jnanam, samstham tata jnanam ajati samatangatam. Ajati samatam gatam atma samstham tathahanam jnanam ആത്മസംസ്ഥം തഥാ ജ്ഞാനം അജാതി സമതാംഗതം അജാതി സമതാംഗതം. സോ ഹിയർ ഹി സേസ് ന ഗ്രഹഃ തത്ര ന ഗ്രഹ തത്ര മീൻസ് സീ ജസ്റ്റ് ടു സേ ആത്മാ ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ഓൾ ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻസ് ആത്മാ ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ട്രാൻസാക്ട് ആത്മ ഈസ് എവർ ഓഫ് ദി നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻലെസ്നെസ് ഓക്കേ സോ വാട്ട് നോ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് അക്സെപ്റ്റൻസ് നോ റിജക്ഷൻ നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ടേക്കൻ അപ് ബൈ ആത്മ നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ഗിവൻ അപ് ബൈ ആത്മ ദെർഫോർ ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ന ഗ്രഹഃ തത്ര ന ഗ്രഹഃ തത്ര സോ ആത്മ ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം എനി ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻ ഇൻ ദി ഫോം ഓഫ് taking up na utsargah atma is free from any transaction in the form of giving up also no upadanam no grahah no utsargah no transaction okay so here the word upadanam is meant by the word grahah Hanam is meant by the word Utsargaha. So, this absolute reality Brahman is ever of the nature of transactionlessness. Why? Because changelessness is the nature. Why transaction is not there? Transaction implies change. Isn't it? Transaction implies change. Changelessness is the nature. Therefore, transaction is not possible. Anything subject to change alone can be associated with any transaction. So here he say, having said that, Chinta yatrana vidyate. Chinta literally means worry, isn't it? But here Chinta yatrana vidyate means what? No emotional transaction also. Don't forget, we are still understanding. We have to remember here, in deep sleep, immediately the mind will, buddhi will come, ask the question. In deep sleep state also, we are not involved in any transaction. Aren't we? Mind doesn't think, intellect does not know, no recollection of memory, no eye sense, ahankara, completely no mental transactions. That's why, in fact, mental transactionlessness is sleep. Their functions are stopped naturally, isn't it? So stopping the functions, transactionlessness experienced in deep sleep state is the condition of the time-bound, condition of the mind. See, you want to understand now, the mind also, in deep sleep state also, we experience what? Transactionlessness. There is no transaction, no physical transaction, no mental transaction, no transaction at all in sleep. Therefore, the mind in sleep also has transactionless, is also transactionless, but it is only temporary state of mind. That is avyavahara avastha. Sleep is a avyavahara Nirvyavahara avastha. Whereas, avyavaharyam, transactionlessness is the very swarupma of the atma. Swarupam is timeless, changeless, everlasting, permanent. Being free from transactions is the permanent swarupma of the atma. Whereas, being free from transactions is changing time bound, changing condition of the mind in sleep. So a jnani's mind, the way jnani, even if he's involved in physical activities, mental activities, still for him the mind is atma. In spite of being involved in activities also, jnani is a non-doer, non-enjoyer. Because Jnani's mind is Atma, free from all transactions. So Jnani also is free from all transactions. In spite of being involved in all transactions, he is free from transactions. What's the reason? For him, Aham is Atma, mind is Atma. In the light of knowledge, everything is Atma. Absolutely what is there. The transactions are as though, according to a Jnani, all transactions are as though. Mental transactions, physical transactions are happening are all as though. Absolutely, there's no transaction. The standpoint of water, there's no movement. The standpoint of wave, all movements are there. Seeming transactions, isn't it? That's why, na utsargaha na graha na chinta. Not even emotional transactions are there on the part of the mind, on the part of Atma. Yatra na vidyate. Okay. Now he says, Atma samst. Next. Atma samstam tata jnanam. Atma samstam. Now he says, just as Atma is free from transactions, Atma is free from transactions, so also, you know, Atma Jnanam is also, Atma Jnanam also is what? Once, Atma Jnanam also, once attained, can never be lost. Atma Samastam Jnanam. Why? Atma Jnanam, the self-knowledge, for which, what is the self-knowledge? The object of knowledge in self-knowledge being Atma itself. The self-knowledge, for which object of knowledge is very unchanging, transaction-free Atma. Therefore, Atma Jnanam also is what? Once attained, is never lost. It will be there. Atma. If knowledge of any other object can go, but Atma Jnanam can never get lost. Therefore, what here? Ajati. Next word is Ajati. Ajati means Atma is not a cause. Not a cause that nothing originates from it. Being changeless, Atma is not a cause of anything from which something comes into existence. There's only Atma is there. There is no karya karana sambandha. Understand now? There is no cause-effect relationship between anything here. Samatam gatam. This is the abstract formless reality. Atma is of the sameness in everything. Whatever is here is of a sort of sameness, samatam gatam. Being the one and the same is the very nature of the reality. Being one and the same is the nature of the reality, samatam gatam. This is the literal meaning of the karika. Okay, we'll see the bhashyam now. So, what Gaudapacharya wants to establish here is, all that is there is only Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. Therefore what? There is no internal organs, external organs, means no parts are there. Partlessness is nature of the Brahma. Therefore, changelessness is the nature of the Brahman. There is no transactions are there on the part of Brahman. And therefore what? The knowledge of that Brahman also is as unchanging as Brahman. Okay? And this Brahman, which is Atma, now Gaudapacharya also wants to make it very clear that Atma and Brahman are one and the same. We can say Brahma or Atma or Brahmatma. All the three are one and the same, isn't it? Only reality is implied by all these different words. Brahma Samyam. Samyam Gatam means Samatam Gatam. Samyam Gatam means it is ever of the nature of the sameness. It means the same in everything. Okay. Now let us see the Bhashyam. Quickly we'll see the meanings. Natatra. The first word is Natatra. Natatra means what? Tasmin Brahmani. Natatra, Tatra means on the part of the Brahman. In that Brahman, in that reality, implied by the term Brahma. Na grahaha. There's no such a transaction in the form of taking up. Okay? Grahaha, na grahaha. Grahaha, he says, the graha is the word used by the word graha meaning upadanam, used by the word by the word acharya, Gaudapada Acharya. He gave another word, grahanam. Grahanam or graha, holding, picking up, taking, isn't it? Grahanam, upadanam. See, it's not from my word, okay? Shankaracharya's word only. Graha, grahanam, upadanam. All the three words mean the same. Three words mean the same. Okay? Grahaha, grahanam, upadanam. Means what? Doing anything. Doing anything. It can be physical, it can be emotional. Tatra na, all these transactions are not there on the part of the Atma. Do you need to go back and read it again? Not necessary. Atma is free from transaction, free from all transactions. We see the Karika first, we see the Bhashyam again, we repeatedly talk about it. This itself is Nididhyasanam. You must see this class itself being Nididhyasanam. You must see right now how this reality, abstract reality, is free from all transactions. Without blessing of consciousness in the form of presence, mere presence, presence itself is a blessing. Because the presence, all transactions are seemingly happening. Atma by itself is free from all transactions. Therefore, tasmin brahmani na graha na grahanam na upadanam. Okay, next. Yes, na utsargaha. What's utsargaha? Utsarjanam. He gives two words, okay? Utsargaha is Gaudapadacharya's word. Shankara's word is what? Utsarjanam. Same meaning. Rejecting, giving up. Utsargaha, utsarjanam, hanam. Giving up means non-performance. See, non-performance also is action. You know that? I quietly sit here without doing anything. That's also action. Not doing anything also action only. Actionlessness is surupam. Okay. So, na utsargaha, na utsarjanam, na hanam. Three words here. Va vidyate tasmin brahmani hanam va utsargaha va utsarjanam va na vidyate. Doesn't sound like English now? Okay. No transaction means, you can put otherwise, actionlessness, functionlessness is the surupma of the Atma. The mind with the knowledge also being Brahma is free from actionlessness. So jnani cannot have kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All these notions cannot be there on the part of a jnani, because transactionlessness, actionlessness is the very surupam. Okay. Yatrahi. Why he has to mention this one? Yatrahi vikriya tad vishayatvam va tatra hanopadane syatam. He says, where these transactions of giving up or doing or picking up, etc. possible, only anything which is subject to change. യത്ര വിക്രിയ, യത്ര ഹി വിക്രിയ, വെറവർ ദർ ഇസ് ചേഞ്ച്, ഓക്കെ, വെറവർ ദർ ഇസ് എ ചേഞ്ച് തദ് വിഷയത്വ, ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കംസ് എൻ ഓബ്ജെക്ട്. വെറവർ ദർ ഇസ് എ ചേഞ്ച് ദാറ്റ് മസ്റ്റ് ബി എൻ ഓബ്ജെക്ട്. And where there is, that must be an object. And there, these, all these transactions are possible. Tad dvayam iha brahmani na sambhavati. Those two do not happen in Brahman. Brahman is free from all those things. So, see, sometimes, no, why he has to mention here, when what are these things? You see, living a life, karma yoga, is it? Karma yoga means what? Involves physical activities, mental act, of course, all the three are involved. Upasanam, also transact. All these are required for purification of the mind. Does Atma require any purity, purification? Purification, who needs? What is the which needs purification? Mind needs purity, mind needs purification to discover the Atma, to resolve itself in the Atma. Isn't it? But Atma is ever of the nature of purity, purification. So, see, upadanam, by doing something, okay, nothing can be added to the Atma. By not doing something also, isn't it? Abstaining from any, suppose I practice all these different practices for mental purification. Living a life, karma yoga is what? Involving oneself in transactions. Involvement oneself in transactions in terms of living a life, karma yoga or practice of meditation. All these are compulsory disciplines. For what? Mental purification. It adds something, isn't it? It brings some change, brings about a change on the part of the mind. Whereas, what purification Atma does Atma need? Therefore, the practice of disciplines cannot bring about any purification, any change on the part of the Atma. Even change form of purification also. Okay, abstaining from disciplines also cannot, isn't it, remove anything from Atma, cannot do any change in the Atma. Why? Atma is ever of nature of purity, purification. No refinement is already absolute purity being the nature of the Atma. No refinement can be brought about on the part of the Atma, either through hanam or through upadanam. That's another meaning. Okay. വികാരഹേതോഃ അന്യസ്യ അഭാവാത് നിർഅവയവാത് ച. അഗൈൻ ഹി മേക്സ് വെരി ക്ലിയർ, ഹി ഗിവ്സ് ടു മോർ റീസൺസ് വൈ ആത്മ അബ്സ്ട്രാക്ട് ഫോംലെസ് റിയാലിറ്റി ഈസ് ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ആക്ഷൻ ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം ട്രാൻസാക്ഷൻസ്. ബിക്കോസ് ദേർ ഇസ് നോ സെക്കൻഡ് തിങ് ടു കോസ് എനി ചേഞ്ച് ഇൻ ബ്രഹ്മ. വികാരഹ മീൻസ് മോഡിഫിക്കേഷൻ. വികാര ഹേതോഹോ അന്യസ്യ അഭാവാത്. റീസൺ നമ്പർ വൺ, ആബ്സൻസ് ഓഫ് എനിത്തിങ് സെക്കൻഡ് തിങ് അതർ ദാൻ ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ് ബീങ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് പോസിബിൾ, വിച്ച് കാൻ ബ്രിങ് അബൌട്ട് ദി ചേഞ്ച്. വികാര ഹേതോഹോ അന്യസ്യ അഭാവാത്. Due to the absence of a second thing other than the Atma, which can cause a change on the part of the Atma, changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Is it clear now? Then, niravayavatvat, second is not, because of partlessness, all these organs are not there. Therefore, partlessness is the nature of the Atma. You know, when the same thing is repeated, we understood. If you feel bored, means our focus is not here. Okay? If you are really focusing on what is being said again and again and again, you are with yourself. You are just yourself. I feel bored means all the mind is distracting you. That is another technique. Why repetition? You are repeatedly helped to be yourself. It's called guided meditation. Yeah, you're helped to be. I'm not saying that is a Shastra style. It's not, nothing is mine here. Okay, so why I'm saying here, he says, Nir Avayavatva. How he connects it, isn't it? Nir Avayavatvate, due to its partlessness. Partlessness being the nature of the Atma. Then second thing being not there to cause any change on the part of the Atma. Changelessness being the nature of the Atma. Atma is free from all transactions. Ataha, he concludes now. Ataha, therefore, na tatra hana upadana. Hanopadane, there's no hanam, there's no upadanam, ityartaha. Then he goes next word. Appa, it took so long to comment upon this one, utsarga and this graha. Now he goes to next word. Chinta yatrana vidyate. I told you already, chinta means literally worry, but here chinta means a thinking. The thinking faculty is chinta yatrana vidyate means there's no intellect. There's no process of thinking, isn't it? So here what he says is, there's no process of thinking. Why? Because process of thinking is very much required for any transaction. Is it possible to be involved in any transaction without thinking? Impossible, isn't it? So process of thinking is required for any transaction, and Atma is free from any process of thinking. So chinta yatrana vidyate, no process of thinking. Any process of thinking is possible because of the blessing of Atma. But Atma is free from any process of thinking. Therefore, what? Sarva prakara eva chinta na sambhavati. Any form of thought process, okay, the thinking process does not happen on the part of the Atma. Sarva prakara chinta, sarva prakara chinta naiva sambhavati. Never any form of process of thinking process, thought process does not happen on the part of Atma. Where he says what? Yatra amanastvat. Yatra amanastvat. There is no mind. Okay? Where there is no mind itself. Atma does not have the mind. So this absolute reality, Brahman, is free from thinking process, free from thoughts, because the Atma, there is no mind. Atma does not have the mind. The mind is mind ununderstood. Okay, Atma ununderstood is the mind. Mind is Atma only. Therefore, there is no mind on the part of Brahman. Therefore, when the mind itself being not there, where is the question of transactions? So no transaction can cause any addition to the Atma. No transaction can cause any reduction or removal of anything from Atma. Nothing can be added to what is. Nothing can be reduced from what is. What is always. What is was before, what is will ever be. Okay? Not even, no, one point of addition of something, nothing. Purnamadaha, Purnamidam. What was Purnam, what is also Purnam. Before the manifestation of universe, what was there? Purnam. After the manifestation of what is there? Purnam. Remove the Purnam from Purnam, what is this? Purnam. Isn't it? Therefore, what he wants to say here, sarva prakarayava chinta na sambhavati yatra amanastvat, due to its not having the mind, kutaha tatra hanopadane. I'm not saying, Shankaracharya says, where is the question of any transactions happening on the part of the Atma? Okay, finished. We'll go to the next sentence now. Yada eva atmasatyanubodha jataha. Now he's talking about the mind. Now he's commenting upon the word. What word? Atma samstham jnanam. No, Shankar is commenting on the word Atma samstham jnanam. Atma samstham jnanam means self-knowledge. The knowledge for which the object is the self. Subject. The knowledge for which the object is self. Knowledge of the knower. Knowledge of the self is what? Atma samstham jnanam. He says, yada eva atma satyanubodha jataha. Shankaracharya loves this expression, satya atma satyanubodha. He will not simply say atma jnanam. Atma satyanubodha. Atma eva satyam anyat sarvam mithya iti bodha. Knowledge of Atma alone is real. Other than Atma, everything else is as though. Everything is only Atma. Atma alone is there. Atma alone is real. Other than Atma, everything else is what? You can say appearance of Atma, manifestation of Atma. Everything is as though. Okay. This knowledge, this is the Atma, Atma Satyatma Jnanam. Okay. And this Jnanam, one must have got it. One can gain only from the pramanam called Shastram with the help of the teacher. That's why Anu. Atma Satyanu Bodha Anu. He will not leave Sampradaya. Okay? Atma Satyanu Bodha. I practice meditation. I got this knowledge. I didn't have any Shastram. If somebody says, don't believe it. If at all a person has got such knowledge, he must have worked for this in his previous jhanmas. Okay, all people will come back with questions. No, Ramana Maharishi never went to study Shastram. Ramakrishna Paramahansa never studied. Don't worry about all of them. They're all just namaskaram. Highly evolved people. Already they must refined personalities. They come into the world just to do some bless the world and go back. They must have worked for that jnanam in their previous jnanmas. So, okay, we have to accept Shastram. That's why Atma Sat. Satyanubodha. Atma Satyanubodha Jataha. When the knowledge takes place, Tada Eva Atma Samstham Vishaya Abhavat. He explains, when the self knowledge takes place, then what happened? Atma Samstham Vishaya Abhavat. As there is no object which exists in Atma. Isn't it? There is no object at all. Atma samstam vishya. Okay. Vishya abhavate. When the attention, Atma samstam, when the mind obtains in Atma, resolves in Atma, abides in Atma, Atma samstham, when the mind abides in Atma, what happens? Vishya abhavaha. There is no object. Isn't it? For you, if you see the water, there is no wave. It is called what? Cognitive destruction of the wave. You have killed the wave, you have killed the ocean. How? See the water and see there is no wave other than water. The seeing wave being not there from the standpoint of the water is what? Undoing the wave, cognitively destroying. The same way, Vishya Abhavat, one's attention is placed in one's own Swarupam, Atma Samstham Jnanam, isn't it? Then, in the wake of the Jnanam, Yada Bhavati, Tada Vishya Abhavat, there's no Vishya, object. Agni Ushnavati, Atman Yevasthitam Jnanam. See, even that knowledge of the Atma, Agni Ushnavate, like the heat in the fire, Atman Yevasthitam, it abides there itself. Atman Yevasthitam, what does it mean? Just as the consciousness is timeless, permanent, everlasting, the knowledge of the self also is permanent, everlasting. Why? Knowledge is Brahma. Understand now? Knowledge is Brahma. Do you see this? Very, very subtle. Atmanyeva sthitam jnanam. See what he says. Yada eva atma satyanubodaha jataha tada eva atma samstham bhavati manaha. So when the self-knowledge rises, simultaneously all thoughts of other objects get resolved. Understand now? When self-knowledge takes place, not all thoughts pertaining to other objects become resolved, negated. Become resolved actually. Which means they all abide into the Atma. Why? Because of the absence of objects. If you see the water, can you see the wave? You can see the wave. But you can see what? Not wave as a wave, something separate from. You can see what? You'll see the wave as water. Okay, you will see the wave being water. Once you see the water, there's no wave. In the same way, when the Atmajnanam takes place, then our thoughts of the objects cannot be there because there are no objects. A very important lesson that I'm repeating here. Atma samstham is Atma samstham jnanam. He explains yada eva atma satyanubodaha jataha tada eva atma samstham. Then mind abides in the Atma because thoughts, there are no thoughts pertaining to the objects due to the absence of objects. So, like what? Just as heat of the fire resolves into the fire in the absence of fuel. Isn't it? When there is no fuel, there's no more fuel, what happens to heat? The heat of the fire resolves into the fire in the absence of fuel. Already he gave the same example he gave before also. Isn't it? Nirindana Agnihi. Vate. So, Agni Ushnavate, Atmanyeva Sthitam Jnanam. See, where does the heat go? Leaving the fire. The heat, as long as fuel is, heat will be burning, scorching, reducing objects into, things into ashes. When the objects are not there, what happens to the heat? Resolves into the fire. In the same way, this Atma Jnanam happens, then thoughts, all the thoughts, with one focus, samadhanam, is it? Whole focus, attention is what? Only in seeing the Atma, abstract, formless reality. There's only one thought, all thoughts, okay? The whole attention is there, and the one vastu, one's own swarupam, consciousness. Then in light of that consciousness, thoughts are not of objects. The thoughts pertaining to the objects are not there. There's only one thought of which, isn't it? Seeing is truth. Then that's called abidance in mind. It's called self-abidance. Abidance in one's own self happens. The self-abidance is like what? The heat of the fire, the absence of fuel resolves into the fire. Similarly, aham resolves in consciousness, abides in consciousness. Aham Brahma asmi, that jnanam also what? Abides in consciousness. No other objects. Listen, finish, that's all. That not just is permanent. Why? It is Brahma. This knowledge of self knowledge is what? Objectless knowledge. Self knowledge is objectless knowledge. Self knowledge happens to be object-free knowledge, objectless knowledge. The self knowledge remains as pure consciousness. No objects. To be able to remain as pure consciousness, no objects. Possible only because there's no objects. Okay, next word. Ajati. Jati varjitam. Jati varjitam is not non-cause. Ajati means jati varjitam. Jati varjitam means what? Non-productive of anything. Non-productive of anything means not the cause, non-cause. So it is free from producing anything. Ad ajati. Jati varjitam. Then samatam gatam. Samatam gatam means what? Param samyam apannam bhavati. Param samyam apannam bhavati. Samatam gatam is Gaudapada Acharya's word. Param samyam apannam bhavati. So here this knowledge also. Knowledge remains as Atma Jnanam, remains as pure consciousness because of the no objects there. And that Jnanam, we say, now as consciousness remains what now? The same without any transactions. Okay? That's what Samatam Gatam. It remains the same. It remains as one and the same consciousness, samatam gatam. That is how, after this jnanam, again no more coming into existence also. Yadadau, now Shankaracharya introduces the following karika. No. Here itself, he still talks about it. And he comments on this verse again, little more. The 30th karika only. Yad adav pratijnatam ataha vakshyami. He says, I'm not saying anything new. Shankaracharya says. Okay. Adav pratijnatam. What has been already explained, clarified. Ataha vakshyami. That is why I'm repeating. Again, I shall present here. What? Akarpanyam. He used the word akarpanyam. Shankara Bhagavatpada used the word akarpanyam. Vakshyami akarpanyam. Ajati. Samatam gatam iti idam All these have been already mentioned. Akarpanyam, being free from miserliness. What does it mean? See, making the best use of one's intellect, making the best use of this life, making the best of everything available here while living this life, you must make use of everything, the best use of everything, so that place your mind in so-and-so Swarupam, attain self-knowledge, make this life complete, meaningful and successful. Making this life meaningful, complete and successful is possible only when a person discovers the truth of the mind. I know everything. What is there? What is there? What is there? Instead of saying, what is there? What is there? What is there? What am I? Who am I? Discover what you are. Discover your own Swarupam. Instead of discovering what is, see, what am I? Okay, once you discover the I like this expression, isn't it? The thirst and the part of the knowledge gets quenched for good. Isn't it? That's all. I want to know. That will stop. That's the end of everything. That's the person who has made the best use of everything, accomplished jnanam, is said to be free from karpanyam. Ajati samatam gatam. All these have been already explained by me. Tad, how was explained? He says, not something newly I'm saying, isn't it? Akarpanyam has been explained. Ajati has been already explained. Samatam gatam also has been already explained. How? Upapattitaha shastrataha cha uktam. Not simply, all have been clarified, explained with the shastra pramanam, and also logically, through reasoning. Upapattitaha, through reasoning, okay, and also through the unfoldment of the words of the shastram, through the analysis of the words of the shastram, these the nature of the atma has been already explained. He says, Uktam upasamhriyate. Again, it is summarized. Again, it is concluded. Okay? Upasamhriyate ajati samatam gatamiti. He is saying, don't think I am repeating. Shankaracharya says, don't think I am repeating these two words. Okay? These two words have been already explained logically. Not through proper analysis of the mantras explained, but again it is present. No? The teaching is concluded here with these two words. Ajati samatamgata. Upasamhriyate, concluded, summarized with these words. Which means the teaching of the Mandukya Upanishad, especially this Advaita Prakranam, gets over with the 38th verse. I am not saying, Shankaracharya is saying. He says the teaching, actual teaching of this Advaita Prakranam ends here with the 38th Karika. And he ends it with this Ajati, Samatamgatam, etc., which have been already explained. Okay. Etasmat, Atma Satyanubodhat, Karpanya Vishayam Anyate. Etasmat Satyanubodhat Karpanya Vishayam Anyate. Yova Yetadaksharam Gargi Aviditva Asmat Lokat Praiti Sahakripanaha Iti Shrutehe. He says, now the teaching is over. The teaching is concluded with these words which have been already explained, but still, what is karpanyam? Okay? Miserliness means not spending. I told you many times before also. Kripanaha literally means a miser who does not spend money. Okay? Has money. Has, not here, poor. He very rich with money, but he doesn't spend. He's a miser. Bhagavan has given us this beautiful, wonderful intellect, shastram, everything, you don't make use of it, isn't it? Means, if you don't make use of this intellectual capacity, being born a human being, being blessed with the free will, being blessed with knowledge of values, being blessed with the capacity to understand, being blessed with this knowledge of self-existence, you know you are. Therefore, eligible to know who you are. Not like other animals. So Vedanta Shastra is not for other animals, only for human beings. Isn't it? So being blessed with this knowledge of self-existence, giving half the clue, you know you are. With all these resources you are blessed with, living this life as a human being, if a person dies without any human, attaining self-knowledge, the whole life becomes, is it? Becomes wasted. Is wasted in the sense what? The life is a meaningless life. Therefore, he says, he quotes a sentence here from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, where he tells Gargi, wife, Yajnavalkya tells, Yahava yet daksharam, he Gargi, Yahava yet daksharam aviditva asmat lokat praiti. Whoever goes away from this world, from this body, a person who dies, leaving this world, goes away leaving this world without attaining the imperishable reality, saha kripanaha. He is a kripanaha. Kripana means one who has wasted his span of life. It's because atma jnanam is freedom. Atma jnanam makes the life absolutely successful, meaningful and complete. One should not miss this. Isn't it? So, Yahava yeta daksharam aviditva asmat lokat praiti saha kripanaha. This is what a quote from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, which means there Rishi tells Gargi, one must make the best use of the span of human life, one must make the best use of all the resources available for attaining self-knowledge. Then life becomes meaningful and successful. If a person is not ready for jnanam also, one must make all possible efforts to prepare one's mind for jnanam. One must place oneself at least in the right track to live a clean life of karma yoga. Is it? One must be follower of disciplines, knowing where one's understanding is. Level of understanding is, one must follow appropriate discipline prescribed by the Shastram. If a person lives life, way of life ordained by the Shastram, the person has placed himself in the right track, at least then his life is not a waste. At least in some janma he can know the truth, then life becomes meaningful. Otherwise, he will be a kripanaha. It is shudehe. Now, it's all built up for next sloka. Prapyetat sarvaha. Prapyetat sarvaha kritakrityaha. Very beautiful sentence. Shankaracharya says, etat prapya sarvaha kritakrityaha. The person who attained this jnanam is a person of real accomplishment. Kritakrityaha. Who is the real person of accomplishment in this life? The person who has attained this jnanam is a kritakrityaha. Nice word. Kritakrityaha kaha. Etat prapya kritakrityaha. The person who attained this jnanam alone is a kritakrityaha. The person of achievement, the person of success, the person of accomplishment. The person of fulfillment. And such a person alone, Brahmanaha bhavati, he is a guna brahmanaha. Doesn't matter whether person is, whether he's by birth he is kshatriha, shudraha, brahmanaha, vaishyaha. By professionally whether he is a brahmana, shudra, doesn't matter. Karmataha, whatever he is. By professionally, whatever a person is. By birth, whatever a person is. If a person has this jnanam, he is a brahmanaha. He is a guna brahmanaha. So who is a brahmanaha? Really, a Brahmana is the one who has the knowledge of Brahman as one's own self. He is a Brahmana. And he is a Kritakritya. He is a person of accomplishment. Iti Abhiprayaha. This is what is the teaching presented here. Okay. 38th karika is over. No, 39th karika. He says, Yadyapi idam ittam paramartha tattvam. He says, but oh my God, this absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the whole cosmos is there as one's own self. Yadyapi idam ittam. Even though this reality is always available for recognition as one's own self, as the nearest self, not even a fraction of second reality is not there as with you. You are the very truth. In spite of truth being one's own self, still, what happens? One does not discover this truth. If truth is something far away from you, other than you, it may involve a lot of other efforts, isn't it? In spite of being the truth, being ever available as your own self, I, when you say, that is truth. Truth alone is there as I. Truth is not I, but I is truth only. Isn't it? Idam yadyapi idam ittham paramartha tattvam. He says, yo, yadyapi idam paramartha tattvam ittham tathapi. So yadyapi implies tathapi is meant, okay? Yadyapi idam ittham paramartha tattvam tathapi manushyana prayatnam nakaroti. Even though absolute reality is there as one's own self, still a person does not make efforts to discover this atma. Shankaracharya feels very sad. So tathapi is implied there. It's an incomplete sentence. That yadyapi, in spite of being this reality, appearing one's own self, he leaves it. So we have to complete the sentence. Still, the person does not make efforts to attain jnanam. If at all he may attain efforts also, he is not able to enjoy the benefit of this jnanam. Why? Now he wants to talk about it. Okay. Asparsha yogo vai nama. Asparsha yogo vai nama. Durdarsha sarva yogi bihi. Durdarsha sarva yogi bihi. Yogino bibhyati hyasmat. Yogino bibhyati hyasmat abhaye bhaya darshinaha abhaye bhaya darshinaha asparsha yogo vainama asparsha yogo vainama durdarsha sarva yogi bhihi durdarsha sarva yogi bhihi yogino bibhyati hyasmat yogino bibhyati hyasmat abhaye bhaya darshinaha bhaya darshinaha. Very beautiful verse it is. Asparsha yogaha. Asparsha yogaha is a beautiful new word you find in Karika as a synonym of the word atmajnanam. Atma jnanam is said to be asparsha yogaha. Why atma jnanam is said to be asparsha yogaha? Because, make a note, see, first of all, atma is implied by the term asparshaha. Sparshaha means touch. Asparshaha means what? Untouched. Touchlessness is the swarupam. I don't know whether it's touchlessness relationlessness, connectionlessness, connectionlessness, associationlessness, isn't it? So being free from association, being free from touch, being free from connection, being free from relation, relationlessness is what? Nature of the Atma. Now I tell you, what connection, what association, what relation, what touch does the light have with any of the opaque things which exist in light? Tell me. What touch or connection, association does space have with anything which exists in space? Okay? It's called untaintedness. Asparsha means what? That untaintedness, untaintedness, being free from relations, being free from association, connection, isn't it? Is untaintedness is the nature of the Atma. The Atma is implied by the term Asparshaha. Yogaha means what? The Yogaha means knowledge. Asparsha Yoga means Atma Jnanam. One meaning. Another meaning is, this Jnanam enables a person see the fact of relationlessness being the nature of the reality. This person, this knowledge enables a person see the fact of the meaninglessness of relationship, relations and connections. So you can talk about the connection between one wave and another wave only when you see the wave, isn't it? From the standpoint of water, where is the connection? No connection, isn't it? Relative connection, relationship, association is all what? Is all relative. Absolutely there is no connection. There is no relationship. There is no association. Second thing itself not there. How can there be association, relation? So all relationships, connection, associations are relative. We can enjoy them relatively, but we should understand the fact of, isn't it, all these connections being mithya. That's why asparsha yogaha. So atma satyanubodhaha is also said to be asparsha yogaha. Atma satyanubodhaha is asparsha yogaha. Okay. And he says, this self-knowledge where one sees relationlessness being the very nature of the only reality, in the wake of which all relations become negated, all connections become negated as mithya, that jnanam durdarshaha, very difficult to accomplish. Okay. For poor sarvayogi bihi, by all spiritual aspirants, this vision is not accomplishable. It's difficult to accomplish for all the aspirants. Why it is difficult? Difficulty is not because of the difficulty is not because of the inadequate mental preparedness. Difficulty is because of why durdarshaha, difficult to have the vision of this abstract reality in the wake of which one can see all his connectionlessness. Isn't it? One can see, to see this is difficult because sarvayogi bihi, by all aspirants, is not easily accomplished. It's not easily accomplishable. This vision of the reality which is of the nature of relationlessness, untaintedness, asangatvam. Isn't it? That's the meaning after here. Asparsha means asangatvam. Is not accomplishable by all aspirants. By some aspirants, it's accomplishable. But all not accomplishable, difficult to accomplish. Why? Because they are not adequately prepared. Due to the lack of adequate mental preparedness, due to the lack of qualifications, eligibility. They're not able to attain jnanam. If they attain jnanam also, they're not able to enjoy the benefit of the jnanam. There is a jnana pratibandha. There's obstruction in attaining jnanam. There's obstruction. There's something prevents them from enjoying the benefit of this jnanam. Attending all classes, aham atma asmi, sarvam brahmai vasti, understanding is there, but no benefit. Why? Ascertainment is not there. Isn't it? Ascertainment, assimilation is not there because of lack of qualification, adequate preparedness. Still mind is distracted. You know, if you want for explanation, you must go and read the explanation of the verse. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabhammanaha. Indriyani are very powerful. The powerful sense organs drag the mind towards the sense objects. Even the mind of a person who is vipaschit, who has clear understanding, and who is constantly making efforts to know the truth. The person who makes efforts to know the truth, who is given a discipline of Shastra study, who is making efforts, he's making efforts to understand the teaching. And he's also vipaschit, being given a study of the Shastra, he has clear understanding of what Atma is, what Atma is not, understanding also is there. Still, he has not assimilated the teaching. Why? Mind does not dwell upon the teaching, goes to sense objects. Understanding is there, but you must pay attention to what you have understood, repeatedly you must dwell upon it until it gets ascertained. Mind goes somewhere else. The vipaschit has clear understanding, still goes. Why? The sense organs drag his mind towards sense objects, which means still the conviction is not there. A person is not convinced. Aham atma eva. Aham satya atma. That conviction is not there. Atma, understand. Still conviction. I am atma. I am atma. That conviction must be there. We're convinced of the one's vision. Convinced of the teaching, isn't it? Then one can enjoy the benefit of the jnanam. Then one will really make efforts. How to do it? Isn't it? That must be there. So, Sarva yogi bihi durdarshaha, it is not easily this vision is not easily accomplishable for all the people because of their lack of inadequate preparation. Because of the inadequate preparation, mental preparation. So they are not adequately pure, adequately steady. They're still distracted. Understand? That is why viveka vairagyam must be there. Viveka must be there. Only vairagyam is possible. Then nothing can drag your mind towards it. Sense organs themselves will come back. Sense organs will be taken away from sense objects. Attention will be taken away from sense objects. Understand now? The desire for sense objects will be resolved. Then attention can remain focused. So viveka and vairagyam are important. Isn't it? So one must work for viveka and vairagyam. One must live a life of karma yoga. Place yourself on the right track of living a life of karma yoga and be given to the practice of meditation. Be worshipful. One must be worshipful. One must be prayerful. One must live a life of dharma. Isn't it? And one must be strictly given to the shravanam. If a person is okay, adequately ready, repeatedly one must list shravanam, 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 shravanam must do. One must do for a long time. Okay, then mind remains stable, one can dwell upon the teaching. Contemplation is possible. The contemplative mental disposition must be there for one to be able to contemplate. The mind must be distraction-free mind. Okay, vairagya must be there also. Therefore, he says, and such people, one more reason he gives very beautifully. Yoginaha bibhyati. See, listen to the teaching, okay? The Shraddha must be there in the Shastram so that a person must be convinced of the teaching. Also, one must be given to the disciplines such as Upasana, etc. Okay. Again, to enjoy the benefit of the jnanam also, one must see oneself being satyam. Isn't it? Aham satyatma. One must see oneself being satyam. Repeat, one must see the fact. If a person, again, next reason he gives, these people who are not able to repeatedly see oneself being Atma. Okay? What happens? Listen to me carefully. Sometimes if people are not really prepared, the Viveka Vairagyam is not there, it is not possible for them to see oneself being Atma also. Because every time in seeing Atma, the fear comes. You know why? Fear is very natural because here one has to lose oneself. Resolving one's identity in Paramatma is what? Losing, they want to hold on to mind. Okay? It's very difficult to see that mind is Brahma. Means aham not there. See, in fact, jnanam is very frightening. You know why? It will eat you up. You will be devoured. Aham na, I am not there. Only Brahman is. It is in the wake of the jnanam, one will repeatedly see there is no real I other than the truth. Only when you see there is no I other than the truth, then you cannot see, there's nothing other than the truth. You should see, there's no I other than the truth. One then you can see, there's no this other than the truth. This stands for the whole objective universe. I stands for, understand, no? Aham nasmi idam nasti brahmaivasmi. Brahmaivasti. Aham nasmi, idam nasti, I am not here, this world is not there. What is there then? Brahman alone is. First you say brahmaivasti, then you must say what? Brahmaivahamasmi. I, the self, I, the Brahman am alone. This jnanam, in this jnanam, all relations, connections, all get negated as mithya. Satyam, is it? Where am I? Where is I? Where is this? How can I talk about the plurality, multiplicity, duality, divisions, differences? If you see the way ocean from the standpoint of the water, there's no divisions, there's no differences. Everything is seemingly real. Mithya. As though, nothing is really there. From the standpoint of this one, all-pervasive, timeless, indivisible, undivided, partless, changeless, is it? Transactionless, pure consciousness, which is you, which is your surupam. In seeing that reality as one's own Swarupam, what happens? Aham gets absorbed in. Aham becomes absorbed. See, the river flowing towards the ocean loses its status of being the river to be an ocean. So, aham goes, Brahma alone is there. That's why this losing self-identity, very frightening for an immature person. It is not frightening. If you're immature, it'll be frightening. You must be mature not to be frightened of the fact. That is why preparedness, that is why Mandukyam, many class, many advanced class are not recommended for everybody. People say, we don't want to get confused. Isn't it? Because it's losing one's identity. Losing one's identity is very frightening. Okay? Aham. That's why people love to be what? Always be Ishwaro, Ishwaraha. I want to be servant of the Lord. Then I hold on to Bhagavan. I distance myself. I have identity with the mind. And I remain here. Different from Bhagavan. Then I need, I'm emotionally very needy. Then I hold on to Bhagavan. Ishwara. I cannot be independent. I need something to lean on. Isn't it? I leave the world for some time. Either I world or Bhagavan. World, Bhagavan. World, Bhagavan. Go to temple, do pujas and worship and prayers and so on. Bhagavan. Come back, parties and again life. Then world. The mind leans either on the world or on the Bhagavan for it to be secure. And then both are what? Okay? At least so okay. Initial is okay. At least shifting dependence from the world to Bhagavan is for some time is okay. And one should see that Bhagavan Ahamasmi. When you discover that status also goes, isn't it? That must be better. One must be free from dependence upon Ishwara also. By seeing Ishwara as one's own Swarupam, one should discover self-dependence, which is discovery of freedom, independence, isn't it? Therefore, that causes fear. It's more about psychology also. I have to tell you, maybe next I'll come back. So, yoginaha bibhyati. These spiritual aspirants, they're not good people. They're trying, making effort. Yatataha. You know, the people who are making efforts as aspirants. But bibhyati, they're very frightened of losing their identity. This fear of losing identity itself is because of what? Because all relations are negated. Because people need relationships, connections. Okay? That's why initially mom, dad, family, brother, sister, all fine. You need to grow. Have relations. Grow, enjoy relationships. Grow out of relationships. See, here, relationship is not deleted here. There's a physical removal of relationship, not experiential removal of relationship, but cognitive negation of relationship. Even cognitive negation of relationship frightens people. How can they physically, emotionally free from relationship, Swamiji? See, the relation, nothing can be avoided here. Physical relationship is not recommended here. You can be with the people. Experiential relationship is not denied here. It's not possible also. Experiential, physical relationships, connections, associations will be there forever. But cognitively, one must see absolutely where are the connections, where are the associations, where are the relations. Isn't it? What is connection? Jiva Jiva. Bheda is not there. One's connection is not there. Difference also is not there. There's neither connection nor connection you see, difference also is possible. No association, no dissociation. No dissociation possible, no association possible. No connection is possible, no disconnection is possible. Samyam gatam, that's very important, isn't it? Samatang gatam, when it's the same, one and the same reality, absolutely what's the one and the same reality, which is free from all divisions and differences, all connections and associations. Because people are very much emotionally dependent on relationships, connections, associations. Any separation causes so much of pain. Death happens, so much of pain. Isn't it? One must see how there's no relationship, absolutely. It's a fact. So, sometimes these are very subtle facts to understand, to dwell upon, to digest, to assimilate these facts, one must be really mature. Viveka Vairagya must be very firm. Otherwise, if a person is not convinced, it's not possible for one to be convinced of the fact that Ahamatma, I, Satyatma, that conviction doesn't happen. What happens? Because there's a fear. This fear also sometimes prevents them from assimilating this. The fear of losing. He says, Yoginaha Bibhyati. He asmat. Abhaye bhayadarshina. Because of this reason, because of fear of not being able to get rid of the, okay, not being able to losing oneself, okay, one's individuality will be lost. In resolving the jnanam, in resolving the ahankara cognitively, individuality becomes lost. That causes fear. I want to be here. Myself, oh, I will not be the, it's a real death. And again, Shankara, in Ramana Maharshi says, this real death. Real death happens only when a person resolves oneself, resolves one individuality in Ishvara, in Bhagavan, the truth. In totality, isn't it? So he says what now? Yoginaha bibhyati. Asmat. Abhaye bhayadarshina. And he says, if at all there is something fearless, okay, absolutely secure, fearless thing is his Atma. Atma, the abstract reality alone, is of the nature of fearlessness because of endlessness, deathlessness, changelessness, being the nature. Otherwise, the fear is inevitable, unavoidable. And instead of understanding one's own sorupam being nature of fearlessness, in understanding this truth where they have to resolve one's identity, they are frightened. So, abhaye bhayadarshinaha. They see fear. See, for them, the Atma, which is the source of fearlessness itself, becomes the source of fear. In Jnanam, Atma releases you from all fear. No, not Atma. In Jnanam, in knowing the Atma being one's own self, a person discovers fearlessness. If a person does not discover Atma being one's own self, that ignorance of the self itself is in the form of fear. You are the problem, you are the solution. Okay? You are the source of fear, you are the source of fearlessness also. If you are known what you are source of fearlessness. If you do not know what you are the source of fear also. Abhaye bhayadarshinaha. It's just being with it. That's why I say, these classes are class of contemplation. You must repeatedly see what you are. That is why it is very difficult for an immature mind to shift suddenly from identity from the body to consciousness. Gradually, one must be helped to come to, that is why a panchakosha prakriya. That is why in life also, first bring Ishvara into middle. Once you start your life, once a person, you become a spiritual person, knowing the goal of your life. Once a person, you are helped. When you don't even know what is the goal of life, then purposeless life. Once you know what ultimate choiceless goal of this human mind, then you know the knowledge being the only means of attainment of this goal, knowledge and moksha being identical, then to accomplish that goal, you place yourself in the track of the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. Then, that's why initially, live a life of karma yoga. Then, you are shifting your dependence from the world to Bhagavan. The minute you start life as a karma yogi, live life of karma yoga, your whole dependence is no more on the world. For emotional, okay, for happiness and security, you shift your dependence from the world to Bhagavan, then you practice these disciplines. So living of karma yoga and being meditative does not mean simply doing something. Emotionally, your dependence is shifted from the world to Bhagavan as a karma yogi, as a meditate, as a worshipful, prayerful, religious person, as a spiritually ethical, religious person, you do your duties, do what is to be done, you're worshipful, prayerful, but you're dependent on Bhagavan for your happiness and security. Then you move on to Jnana Yoga, you slowly start shifting the dependence from Bhagavan, shifting, slowly you're shifting, through Shravanam you're shifting, Mahanam you're shifting, Nididhyasanam you're shifting, Jnanam shifted. Then you are self-dependent. Dependence cannot be from world to self is difficult. Being Bhagavan in between, then it will be easy. This is what the teaching is all about. We'll come back and see. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.